The pew was too short for the entire family to sit together, and I would manage to lag behind, letting Mama and Papa and the other children go in first. Then I would have to walk back toward the rear of the church to find a seat. The seat I found was usually far beyond the church door. In the winter I skated down the frozen canals on my wooden klompen. In the summer I sat so still in the fields that any wild crows would sit on my shoulders and peck gently at my ears. With a kind of instinct, I knew precisely when the church service would be over, and would slip into a corner of the church vestibule just as the first sufferers emerged. I stood near the preacher, who never once missed my presence, and listened for the comments of the congregation about his sermon. Thus I picked up his text, his theme, sometimes even the gist of a story. This ploy was terribly important, because without it I could not have carried off the most important phase of my weekly adventure. It is the custom in Holland to gather in private homes after church. Three ingredients are always present: coffee, cigar smoke, and a point-by-point discussion of the sermon. The men in our village could afford these long black cigars only once a week. Each Sunday, as their wives brewed strong black coffee, they brought them out and lighted up with great ceremony. To this day, whenever I catch the smell of coffee and cigar smoke, my heart beats faster. It is an odor associated with fear and excitement. Could I once again fool my parents into thinking that I had been to church? "It seems to me that the preacher used Luke 3:16 just last month," I would say, knowing full well that he had not, but getting across in this way the fact that I knew the text. Or, "Wasn't that a good story about politicians?" playing out a scrap of conversation I had overheard. "I should think the burgomaster would be mad." The technique was immensely successful. I blush to think how seldom I attended church as a child. I blush even more when I remember that my trusting, simple-hearted family never suspected. By 1939, the whole country saw what the Westras had seen all along. The Germans were intent on a pattern of conquest that included Holland. In our house we scarcely thought about it. Bass was sick. The doctor called it tuberculosis. Mama and Papa moved onto a mattress in the sitting room. For months Bass lay in their tiny bedroom, coughing, coughing, his flesh shrinking until only bones and skin lay on the bed. His suffering was more dreadful than that of a normal person, because he could not tell us how he felt. I remember one day, just after my 11th birthday, creeping into the sick room while Mama was busy in the kitchen. Entering that room was strictly forbidden, for the disease was contagious. But that was what I wanted. If Bass was going to die, then I wanted to die too. I threw myself down on top of him and kissed him again and again on the mouth.